いけんねえ。
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS network. Stay tuned or you will feel pain.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
Oh my God, you're not going to believe this. The Miz has now been named to star in the third installment of the WWE film's The Marine, called The Marine Homefront. I ran into Clint Eastwood the other day and I asked him what he thought of the WWE's choice of The Miz to star in the third Marine film.
The Marines are looking for a few good men. Unfortunately, you ain't it.
And no one would know better than Clint Eastwood. Pro Wrestling Rewind is next.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
Just like the Marines fighting the fight, every day in a relentless pursuit of the truth, it is I, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, the power Andy Knowles, firmly entrenched behind the PIB microphone here at the PWR Northern Command, right here on the SNS Radio Network, the power Andy Knowles, the Bronx Father Tony Mirabella. Another 90 minutes of the truth and nothing but the truth here on the SNS Radio Network. A lot to talk about. This evening, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we just got over the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We'll go over some of the more noteworthy matches. A lot to talk about. Bronx, good evening to you, sir.
So, am I the Southern Command then?
You are in the. I'm the Northern Command. You would be considered in the Metro Command.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, you are in the Metro Command of the Power in Broadcasting Network location here on the SNS Radio Network.
You just couldn't resist, could you?
No, I couldn't.
When I heard the Marine 3 came out, well, is going to be made with The Miz, I was like, I know he's not going to be able to resist.
Are they that hard? I mean, literally, are they that hard up? Is WWE Films really that hard up for people to star in movies that they had to get, you know, it had to do something. I think the Miz, Mike Mizaninin, had a role, a starring role, a guest starring role, excuse me, in, I believe, USA Psych, and he played, go figure, oh my God, played a reality star. So, you know, it only makes sense. You know, if I were, I'm sorry, but ladies and gentlemen, Semper Fi, if I were a Marine, I would not be one too thrilled with having The Miz play a Marine. Now, John Cena, I get. Okay, John Cena, I get. Ted DiBiase, maybe on a slow day, but The Miz? Are you kidding me? The Miz? And well, you know what's worse about this? The ladies and gentlemen, the story, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the story, excuse me, as I'm going through puberty again, the story on Headlocks to Headlines, posted by Crowley, the Marine, this third installment's called The Marine Homefront, 20th Century Fox Entertainment announcing that The Miz will star in The Marine Homefront, the third installment, marking Mizaninininin's first starring role in a film. We'll never hear the end of this. The action thriller directed by Scott Wiper, who directed The Condemned. But you know why that movie did not win an Oscar, I will never know.
Yeah, I liked it.
The Condemned, and wrote the screenplay for John Petrow for The Cold Light of Day, starring Henry Cavill, Bruce Willis, and Sigourney Weaver. Now, this is the part that pisses me off. Principal photography will begin June 11th in Vancouver, in my hometown. My hometown is going to get soiled by this idiot. This guy is going to soil the sacred grounds of Vancouver, British Columbia, my hometown. Mizaninininin, hang on 2 seconds. Mizaninininin portrays a Marine who was forced. He plays a Marine forced to put his skills to the test when a radical militia group kidnaps his rebellious niece. Well, if the niece is rebellious, who gives a damn? I wouldn't be dropping everything I'm doing from one of my nieces. What do I care? The niece is rebellious, so what? The unrelenting soldier does whatever is necessary to save his niece and stop a terrorist attack masterminded by the militia leader. 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment handling worldwide distribution. This movie, the movie's so good, it's going right to video, man. The movie is going to be so great, they're going to bypass theaters, and they're going right to DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, when I hear WWE films, I don't even bother. I mean, it's like, look, yeah, John Cena played the first Marine. He did a decent job, but, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, couldn't make it through boot camp in preparation for the movie. You had Ted DiBiase, who had, I don't know what his qualifications were. You had possibly Randy Orton, but the Marines got ticked off when they found out he was, oh, God, what did they call it? I don't think it was dishonorably. He went AWOL. I don't know what happened with him.
He was a bad boy.
Right.
He was a bad boy, got caught, and had to leave. And look, okay, I get it. But The Miz? What is The Miz? When I think of Marines, I think of guys like Clint Eastwood. I think of guys who even I wouldn't want to mess with. Okay? And I mean, I'm a big guy, but I wouldn't want to mess with a Marine. Period. These are the guys, you know, you got your SEAL Team 6 boys, the guys who took out Bin Laden, which, by the way, happy 1 year anniversary of Bin Laden going to hell. For anybody who's, oh my God, that's another thing. Jesus, you want to get me started real quick? What the hell was Obama thinking? Oh, we won't spike the ball. We won't spike the ball. What the hell is he doing in Afghanistan? Anyway, that's for another radio show. But anyway, I digress. I really don't care about The Miz. I think it's a, you know, nobody gives a damn about this movie. I think, you know, like 12 Rounds I thought was good. The first Marine I thought was good. Condemned was really good. But I, you know, this is going to be filler. Or something. I just, you know, this whole movie is going to be nothing but a urine break.
Well, WWE Films is losing more money than a blind guy with no hands. So, I mean, it's like, you know, there was talk even last year where, like, the stockholders were pressuring him and saying, you know, we're losing money. I mean, you know, Vince McMahon needs to roll over and realize one morning, I'm only good at one thing, and that's making wrestling. And, I mean, other than that, bodybuilding, you know, football, movies, stick to wrestling. You know, that's the new WWE slogan. When it comes to anything but wrestling, we're... So, that's just my opinion.
Hey, are we having problems with the stream right now?
You sound fine to me. I would not know.
All right, because I am showing a connection. I'm showing a connection. Here's, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to go ahead. We'll reset everything, and when we come back, we'll go ahead. We'll get this party started. Hang on just a quick second. Okay, we'll go ahead. We'll try that and see if that works. Are we back on the air now? Are we back on the air? Let's, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening out there, please, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a sign that we are. You know what we should do, Bronx? You know, for the benefit of our listeners, you know what we should just start the show all over again.
Well, we're actually not coming through on the external player. I can verify that.
Okay, now I'm being told now that we are up and running. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna go and rehash. I'm not gonna go and rehash the last 10 minutes of the program. But for the benefit of those who didn't come on at the beginning of the show, I think it's only fair that we start the intro over again. You think that will be fair?
Yeah, and then okay. I can break it down in about 2 seconds what we talked about.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead for the benefit of those with flash photography. We will go ahead and let's go ahead and restart this. Bear with me just a second. I'm going to pretend like Skipper was here, and God, I miss Skipper. Skipper was a great guy. Skipper, hit the tape. Oh my God, you're not going to believe this. The Miz has now been named to star in the third installment of the WWE film's The Marine, called The Marine Homefront. I ran into Clint Eastwood the other day and I asked him what he thought of the WWE's choice of The Miz to star in the third Marine film.
The Marines are looking for a few good men. Unfortunately, you ain't it.
And no one would know better than Clint Eastwood. Pro Wrestling Rewind is next.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
Okay, so we'll try this again. Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans, and conspiracy theorists across the seven continents. Firmly entrenched, just like a Marine, firmly entrenched behind the golden PIB microphone here at the PWR Northern Command. The power Andy Knowles, the Bronx father in the Metro Command. And, you know, just like the Marines, we speak the truth here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network. Now, if you're listening on the archive, you're saying to yourself,
yo, man, like, wow, they did the intro like twice, man. This is some really, really good stuff, man.
Like, yeah, man.
Dude, like, for real, they did like the intro twice, man.
And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Just, you know, just relax. Just come down easy. All right. We don't want you hurting yourself. All right. Now make sure you got plenty of liquids. If you have a beer, drink it. Okay, just remember you're a living organism, okay, and people love you, okay. So just take it easy out there. If you think you're tripping, you're not tripping, okay. Just got to take it down, real easy. For those of you who were not able to catch the first 10 minutes of the program, we were basically going over this debacle that is the Miz starring in the third installment of The Marine, and Clint Eastwood was kind enough to give us a quick soundbite on that. And I don't blame him. I really don't see the Miz as a Marine myself. And I can understand why the Marines, you know, Semper Fi. I can understand why the Marines would be upset. But, you know, it is what it is. And we're moving forward. So, you know, it is what it is. What are we going to do?
I can almost just hear, put your little hand in mine. Ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. As I smash my alarm clock to no avail.
You are a sick, sick man.
And for those of you who don't get that,
for those of you who don't have the benefit of flash photography, they're filming the Marine 3 in my hometown. The Miz is going to... Dude, I'm hearing it again, man. Like, wow. This rewind stuff is, like, tripping me, man. They're going to go ahead. They're going to film the Marine 3 in my hometown. The Miz is going to dare to soil, put his dirty feet on my hometown, all right, and desecrate what is wholesome and good. All right, my hometown, Vancouver, British Columbia. But anyway, good evening once again here, the Pro Wrestling Rewind. We're running a little late. I apologize. I don't know what happened. Honestly, I don't know what everything was set. We ladies and gentlemen, to give you a little background here very quickly, we changed some audio settings here, and now we're supposed to be on the new channel. It looks like we're all set. I'm being told by Anthony that this tonight's episode is almost as effed up as the recent Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I think that's a bit harsh.
Well, why don't we just admit that we have been hired by WWE Films and we are in fact filming Groundhog 2 right now. So, Power, go ahead and start that intro again.
No, yeah, you didn't know that we were filming Groundhog 2 here tonight? Where have you all been? Oh my God, you're not going to believe this. The Miz has now been named to star in the third installment of the WWE Films The Marine, called The Marine Homefront. I ran into Clint Eastwood the other day and I asked him what he thought of the WWE's choice of The Miz to star in the third Marine film.
The Marines are looking for a few good men. Unfortunately, you ain't it.
And no one would know better than Clint Eastwood. Pro Wrestling Rewind is next.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you.
Okay, stop,
me to
stop.
Envy.
Stop the audio. Stop it. Stop it,
I
damn
really
it.
I don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
Dude, I can't. Stop it. Dude, I just, wow. I gotta get off this, man.
It's some good stuff,
man. Wow, man. Is it 420 yet, man? Dude. You know, all those Occupy Wall Streeters down there, whatever they were down in, you would know they had Occupy Wall Street going on here on May Day. And I'm not talking Captain Sully's plane May Day. I'm talking May Day. They had the Occupy Wall Streeters down. I guess they had like 20 people going in front of a Bank of America or something like that down in the city.
Oh, I don't know. I work uptown. Thank God.
Thank God for that.
As you would say, praise Jesus. That
praise
I don't work.
Jesus. Praise God.
Because Lower Manhattan is, you know, something you had mentioned real quick before about it being the
then
one.
Then I want to get to the news, but go ahead.
Yeah, the one anniversary of us snuffing out that pile of trash, Bin Laden. I mentioned this the other day on Wrestling News Live that very close to the anniversary, the Freedom Tower has gone up and it has now exceeded the height of the Empire State Building.
That's a sharp looking building too that they've built there.
Oh, I can't wait to get inside it when it's done. I think it's the observatory. If it's anything like the one on 2 World Trade Center, it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. A lot to cover tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start off one of the top stories at this hour. Brock Lesnar. Actually, before I even get to that, even more breaking than that story right now, Junior Seau dead from suicide at the age 43. And what makes the story wrestling related is he played golf with Bill Goldberg yesterday, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion Bill Goldberg. And TMZ reporting that Junior Seau found dead by his housekeeper. I thought it was the girlfriend that found him, but I guess it's the housekeeper. A self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest. Bill Goldberg took to Twitter to share that he had just seen Seau yesterday. Sad day, played in a charity golf tournament yesterday with Junior, and now he's gone. He says, RIP, my friend, and please say a prayer for him. You can go to TMZ.com. I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, go to TMZ.com and read more. But, you know, man, I feel for him, and I feel for his family. And now I'm going to say something completely inappropriate having said that. Man, you know, maybe, you know, I will never play golf with Bill Goldberg. Okay? Oh. I will never play golf
with Bill Goldberg. Because apparently, after you play golf with Bill Goldberg, you want to check out. That's my inappropriate line, but no, all joking aside, I'm going to catch a lot of flack for that. But all joking aside, really sad to hear. Did he play for the Chargers?
Oh, I'm not sure. My football, I follow New York, and that's about it. I'm not good with names and teams when it comes to football. But, you know, keep following this story, because like you and I talked about before the show, it's odd for someone to shoot themselves in the chest. That's usually not where you do it. You're usually going to, you know, take your hand and point, you know, hold your hand out about a foot and point it towards your chest. And with the way your wrist bends, okay, that's not easy to do.
Okay. You realize that you're talking about ways to commit suicide on a wrestling radio program.
Well,
if somebody goes and does this, you are so getting sued.
And listen to this. See, they heard me already. They're coming.
There they go. There they go.
That timing couldn't have been more perfect if we planned it.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. But it is, it's sad to hear. I guess now they're pointing to concussions similar to Chris Benoit. That you know, his mind might have been a little messed up, and you know, decided to check out.
No, who knows? It's tragic.
Terrible. It is very tragic. Yeah. Updated news here on Brock Lesnar blowing up after Extreme Rules. Bleacher Report had it on their website that following the Extreme pay-per-view, there was a huge backstage blow-up involving Brock Lesnar. According to several sources, Lesnar lost it on a number of WWE officials and began ripping apart a dressing room, upset over the John Cena promo that closed the pay-per-view. The original plan was for Cena, despite winning, to be so beaten that he was carried out of the building, leaving an opening for Lesnar to brag that while he had lost the battle on a fluke, he would in fact win the war. When Cena decided to address the audience, Lesnar perceived it as Cena double-crossing him and lost it on WWE officials. It's not known how they calmed him down, but tonight's angle, they used an elephant tranquilizer. But tonight's angle, or last night's angle, excuse me, with Triple H, was planned in advance as a way to remove Lesnar from TV. Sources within the company have indicated that Lesnar's current deal only requires him to work 2 dates minimum per month. The Wrestling Observer newsletter is reporting that the WWE's new mentality with Lesnar is that they're paying a lot of money for a guy who is not their top guy. So he should be used when he can be there to put over top talents. People in Lesnar's camp were feeling like the WWE was just testing Lesnar by having Cena cut the post-match speech. Brock was told before the Extreme Rules match that Cena would go out on a stretcher and look totally incapacitated and be injured. Lesnar went nuts backstage in front of everyone, tearing things up and throwing a tantrum. Cena didn't do what I wanted him to do. I don't like it. Lesnar specifically yelled at Mark Carano, the assistant to Johnny Ace, how things are a mess and everything is wrong in the WWE. This is a mess. I had to beat him up. Lesnar also suggested that Cena intentionally pulled down the top rope at Extreme Rules, causing him to nearly blow out his knee in the bad spot towards the end of the match, where they both tumbled over to the floor. Again, most believe there is no real heat between Cena and Lesnar over this, and this could also have been part of an act by Lesnar. Despite what's an act and what's part of the TV storyline, sources insist that Lesnar's status and future with the WWE is a sticky situation. While Lesnar versus Triple H is in the works for SummerSlam, some in the company are already predicting that he will end up working the remaining big pay-per-view events, Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, before being done with the company. You know what? Is it a work? Is it real? You know what? I really don't care. I really don't care about Brock Lesnar. I really don't care about this storyline. What I do care about is the fact that the perception is going to be that Brock Lesnar is a spoiled brat. That is the perception here. And it really disgraces UFC to have your former heavyweight champion, a man who, let's face it, the man went from WWE to becoming a legitimate UFC heavyweight champion. And that says a lot. That says a lot for this man's intensity, his training regimen, his tenacity.
And for him to be brought back into the WWE, and whether he was told or not, whether he did it on his own or not, this makes him look like a, it doesn't make him look like a heel. It doesn't make him look like a badass. It makes him look like a spoiled brat. And this was, you know, this was exactly. Bork Laser on the chat said it right. Me take my ball, me go home. All right. $1 million body, 10 cent brain.
Well, I've been reading that this may all possibly be the WWE work and the IWC. I mean, if it's not, I can't imagine a guy being that stupid. I mean, Brock has burned every other bridge. I mean, look,
yeah,
you know, you've come back to a company that after what he did, he's lucky to have a job. If this is legit, and again, I just don't have enough information. It could all be a work. You're right. But I can't see the guy coming back and blowing a fit like this. I mean, okay, yes, I was not happy with the ending of the pay-per-view. But the bottom line is, big man, you're not in a position to make any demands or get ticked off about anything. You should look in the mirror and thank God you have a job
right,
and
you're getting
shut
two.
Up. And-
you're right. You're right. You're getting 2 nights. You're getting 2 nights a month. Two, you're getting paid for two. Goddamn. Sorry, God. Praise God. 2 nights. I was told by my wife I need to stop. We have a friend. Okay, I'm not going to say who it is. But we have a friend, great folks, love them to death, very religious. And they stress that my taking the Lord's name in vain is blasphemous. Now, I never claimed to be the greatest saint on the planet. Far from it. I sin just like everybody else. Which, by the way, I saw The Passion of the Christ over the weekend. Finally on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, I would strongly recommend watching it. It's a great movie. But that being said, I am not poking fun at God or Jesus. I am poking fun at Baptist ministers. There's a big honking difference. But anyway, I continue. This situation with Brock Lesnar getting paid full-time money for part-time work. He should be happy. He should be happy to have a job. He should be on his knees thanking great God Vince that he can go up and he can, you know, and he can act like an ass twice a month. But when he does crap like this, whether it's a work or not, it makes him look like a spoiled little brat and nobody's going to take him seriously, whether it's a work or not.
Well, look for WWE Studios to make The Hulk 4 starring Brock Lesnar. I mean, you got to roid him up again a little. I mean, like I said, yeah. You know, I wanted Brock to win, you know,
me
Sunday
too.
Night.
Me too.
But, you know, come on, man. You know, this is a guy, come on, immaturity. I mean, you know, the second he's told, like in when he tried for football, they said, hey, listen, you know, you got to practice a little bit, man, like The Rock did. They shipped off The Rock to Canada when he was, you know, trying to play football. Everyone has to, you know, pay their dues in that business. And, you know, look, you have to earn trust as well. If I'm the WWE, after the way you screwed them over last time, yeah, you got to re-earn my trust. I mean, I'm thinking it's all a work, but even if it is a work, it does make him look like a little bit of an ass. I agree with you.
It makes him look like a little bitch. Remember that movie Basketball? And they had the little tiny guy and they called him Little Bitch? Remember him?
No, I didn't see that movie.
God almighty, and you've got Netflix? What the hell? What do you do? You led a sheltered childhood. You know what it is? Because you're living too close to the cop shop, and you're afraid you're going to get busted for a noise complaint. Live a little, man.
You know, I don't like the way you're speaking to me, damn it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to destroy my room. I'm going to start tearing things up, damn it, because I'm a big star. You cannot treat me like that, Andy. I'm going to start breaking things. No, not really.
You go right ahead, and we'll leave the microphone on, and the listeners of the SNS Radio Network listeners can hear you. The archive listeners can hear you trash your room. I was supposed to beat Cena. And he sounds like the Speaker of the House, doesn't he? He doesn't sound like Boehner, doesn't he?
And he took the mic and he spoke and I was supposed to beat him up and it's not fair. Let's start the pay-per-view again.
You know, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous that we are being forced. Well, first off, it's ridiculous that I went off on that rant that long, but it's even more ridiculous that we're being forced. You know, the WWE trying to play the internet wrestling radio community, the terrestrial wrestling radio community, and the fine folks, the wrestling print media, the left and the right. You know, they really don't give us anywhere near enough credit. Nowhere near.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to something else. Should we actually, you know what, let's do this before we go. Let's do this story before we go to break. I was perturbed. You know, I love the Bleacher Report. That's become one of my new favorite news sites for anything sports related. I think they really do a fabulous job there. But yeah, there was Eric Ball ran a story today that I saw. It's the Bella Twins. The WWE made the correct call in firing stale divas. And I'm like, okay. And it forced me to read. And, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for what I think really is in Bleacher Report doesn't normally have asinine articles, but this comes close to qualifying. So Eric Ball writes, and he has every right, before I start getting hate mail from him or anybody else, he has every right to spout off on his opinion, but in this case, he's wrong. The WWE, he writes, finally made the right move. After botching the John Cena-Brock Lesnar feud, they hit a home run by firing the Bella Twins from the Divas division. Their act had clearly grown staler than month-old bread, and swift action had to be taken. The commentators at Monday Night Raw first reported the firing after their embarrassing loss to Layla that ended in about 5 seconds. The twins were arguing with each other, and a flying kick from Layla knocked one of them out of the ring and dazed the other enough to land the pin. It was another weak showing. One night after getting rocked at Extreme Rules, it became clear the WWE wanted them out and ensured their exit was a less than graceful one. So now they're gone and are going to be suffering the serious downgrade in their appearances. The Wrestling Inc. is reporting that the Bella Twins will be at the Northeast Wrestling Show on June the 1st. Apparently, Eric was yawning over that. The WWE has officially removed them from the roster page. The Divas division, he writes, is the weakest it's been in a very long time, and a sizable amount of blame can be placed on the Twins. They became sour personalities and didn't offer the same luster and passion of the old days. Now, this sets up the perfect return for Karma, one of the all-time greats. With Beth Phoenix nursing her ankle back to health, the cupboard is incredibly bare. Infusing a legend like Karma back into the mix would reignite the flame, and I expect her to return on this week's episode of Raw. So sayonara, Bella Twins, he writes. You were fun to watch for a while, but you clearly had worn out your welcome. They weren't fired? Give me a break! Everybody knew their contract was up. They threw the title run as a way of saying, you know, thanks for hanging out. Everybody knew their contract was up. God knew their contract was up. Osama bin Laden knew their contract was up, and he's dead. Okay, I'm sorry, man, but, you know, Eric, I'm hoping this was a work, because every single comment that was on this website related to this story could do nothing more but compound the asinine comments that were in the article. And believe me, I love the Bleacher Report guys. I think they're great, but I really don't know what they were thinking here. And they lost the tremendous opportunity. They could have had Kaia Stevens come back in, destroy both of them, take the Divas Championship. The woman who fights for the unborn, the woman who fights for those who can't fight for themselves, and she could have had a fabulous title run, but the WWE found a way to screw it up again. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, you're right. Their contract expired. They did not re-sign. Now, I don't know why that is. The only part of that article that I will agree with is the part where he says the Divas division is the worst that it's been. I mean, that I'll agree with.
Yeah, what have we got right now? We've got Layla. When you've got Layla as your Divas champion, you've got to, when Layla goes over Natty Neidhart, you've got a problem.
But blaming the Bella Twins, I mean, I actually think that their gimmick was one of actually the more interesting gimmicks in the Divas division right now. You know, the Twin Magic, them switching around, and, you know, they were hot. And they weren't as bad of wrestlers as a lot of people say they were. I think they were decent. I mean, they're not, you know, a Lita or a Trish Stratus, but they were okay. They improved, you know. Yeah, I don't agree with that. The Divas division just sucks because the WWE could give less than a damn about it, and that's the bottom line.
Meanwhile, you know, meanwhile, back over in TNA, where we have a guy holding one half the Knockouts Tag Team Championships.
Well, I don't agree with that, but at least in TNA, when you do have the girl-on-girl act, well, that didn't sound right, the two women wrestling in the ring, it, you know, at least it's entertaining. I mean, I don't agree with them holding. I mean, look, I could see the Bellas. Now here's the thing. I still don't understand this, and this has been a very confusing matter for me for a long time. If your contract just expires, are you limited by that 60-day no-compete clause? I would think not.
I would think it depends on the contract that you sign originally. I mean, I'm sure there's a clause in there. Or, you know, when you have your exit interview, you know, they may require you to sign a disclosure that may have that in there. I honestly don't know. But for the Bellas, I mean, it's less important for, say, the Bellas than it would be for, you know, for, say, John Cena, you know, or, you know, or the Big Show, you know, Cody Rhodes, name a talent. Which, right, by the way, I'm glad that he got the Intercontinental title back, and we're going to talk about that after the break. You know, actually, let's do that. We're running over on this segment. Let's go ahead. Let's take a break, and we'll take a very, very short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the title changes that happened here in this past run around, this past pay-per-view, Extreme Rules. And let's talk a little Rey Mysterio still on the juice, Sin Cara's return, and a little Hulk Hogan, too. All that and more. Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry Crisco. I'm on this fantastic program, the Pro Wrestling Rewind. You too can listen and participate. All you got to do is go to the website to the SNS Network.
Back on the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network, the power, Andy Knowles, the Bronx Father, in the house. I was going to say that. In the house. I just don't know what it is. Just my Ebonics just isn't what it used to be. I don't know if it's when I turned 40. That, you know, just my Ebonics has gone downhill. PW Insider reporting a ton of heat. Are you still there with me, Bronx, or have you bailed?
No, I'm here.
Okay, good. PW Insider reporting a ton of heat on Rey Mysterio right now with the feeling he was getting paid well to sit at home and heal, but he couldn't stay clean. The feeling was that some in the company believe that Kevin Nash's comments last week about a friend being released from the WWE were talking about Mysterio, but nothing has been heard about Rey being released. He is currently serving a 60-day suspension. He was a bad, bad boy.
Oh, man. You know what? And if he was released, and I don't, if he was, and you're right. I haven't, you know, usually on their corporate site, they put that up immediately. We wish blah, 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 the best of luck in their future endeavors.
Yeah.
If they did release him, and I very rarely side with the WWE, I'm sorry, I wouldn't blame him.
Yep.
Come on, this is the second time. You know, what I think it is, and here's where I'm going to give Rey a pass, okay? Here's where I'll give Rey a pass.
I've got to give him one, too. I've met the man. I've spoken to the man. I'm in shock. I don't have the heart to tell my kids that he's been suspended for juicing. I can't.
Well, we don't know if it was juicing.
Oh, what else was it? What was he doing? Was he smoking the synthetic the spice? What, trying to go ahead and get banned here in New York State?
Well, you got to remember, you know, go in your kitchen and go under your sink in the cupboard like I have them and take out a wet sponge. That's Rey Mysterio's knees, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be funny. This guy has to be, after all these surgeries and constant pain, and what I think is going on, what I'm giving him again the benefit of the doubt. that he's probably, even after getting your knees quote unquote fixed, he's in so much pain that maybe he overdid it in hopes that he'd come back, and that's what he got popped for.
Yep.
I think after the last knee injury, Ray looks like a smart guy who saved his money. I think he should have retired. You know, you don't want to end up a crippled man. You don't want to spend your the last 30, 40 years of your life in a wheelchair. You know,
the downfall is he had a late WWE title run that was rendered invalid.
Right.
Yeah. Is that all you have to say about that?
Which title run are you referring to?
The last one when CM Punk was a legitimate champion. And
Cena beat him the same night on Raw.
Yeah.
He held the title for what? 2 hours?
For 2 hours. He pulled a sting.
And then Super Cena comes out and beats him in 2 hours. Okay. Yeah, well, it didn't void his title run.
That title run wasn't legitimate, and neither was Cena's.
Yeah.
That's true. To segue into this, however, PW Insider reporting that during Monday's episode of Raw Super Show, the WWE Spanish announce team revealed that Rey Mysterio II would, in fact, make an in-ring return for the SmackDown brand's Mexico tour, May the 24th through May the 26th. Rey Mysterio II been off WWE television since November of last year while rehabbing his bad knee. And it's possible that Rey Mysterio II could return to television before the Mexico tour, but those are his first official advertised date. So the original Rey Mysterio goes bye-bye, and we get Rey Mysterio II, which doesn't matter. The kids won't know the difference anyway.
You hear that? You hear that?
What? Cricket? Cricket?
That's
cricket.
My excitement. That's my excitement level of Sin Cara coming back. I mean, really? I mean, I'd much rather see Rey Mysterio. I mean, look, I know this guy was huge in Mexico, but the short time he was in the WWE before he, A, got popped himself, and B, got injured, he did nothing for me. I'm just like, wah, wah, wah. I really could care less.
You know what? Why don't they just put the Rey Mysterio mask on Sin Cara and just call him? The kids call him Rey. My kids call him Rey.
That would be an insult.
Because anybody that puts on a mask is Rey Mysterio. He's built that brand now. Now, I know down in California and down in Texas and Arizona, where y'all love your Lucha Libre, y'all got to have your Lucha Libre down there. I get it. All right, but, you know, for us more northern, sophisticated people, if we see a man in a mask, we immediately think of Rey Mysterio. So as far as all the wrestlers in masks are Rey Mysterio, as far as I'm concerned. That's just the way it is. Somebody get me a scotch, please.
Well, I'm in New York City. When I see a guy with a mask, I duck. I think robbery. But, you know, I just, that would be a disgrace. To put it, look, the guy's had too much of a career now.
Yeah.
To put anyone else under a mask, to claim that was him, would be disgusting to even, in my opinion, to even suggest that. But, you know, I would have liked to have seen him have one more short run, have that great retirement speech like Edge, get himself in the Hall of Fame, get himself a nice 3-4 disc DVD set. But that may not happen now, man. We'll have to wait and see.
It's, who was it here in the chat room? Bear with me 2 seconds. Rock Porto in the chat room had indicated that Sin Cara has Jeff Hardy hand gloves. So does that mean he's Jeff Mysterio?
Jeff,
or he's Ray Hardy? Or Ray Carr. Actually, we'll call him Jeff Cara. How about that? That would make more sense. Or Sin Hardy, which actually would be more appropriate.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Was it, was it Epico or Primo? Who was playing the black Sin Cara?
There was a black Sin Cara?
Yeah. Remember there were two Sin Caras.
Oh,
there
Jesus.
Was the quote-unquote real Sin Cara in blue.
Oh, my God.
And then you had, I mean, the storyline was so irrelevant to me that I can't remember which one of them it was. I don't know if it was Epico, Primo, or somebody else. Someone in chat help us out. Who was
Hunico?
Playing Sin Cara Negro?
Hunico?
Hunico. Hunico. Okay.
This is 1986 all over again. I'm having flashbacks to the Big Machine and the Super Machine and the Giant Machine.
But Hunico, I thought, was more talented. I thought he was more entertaining to watch.
I thought, honestly, I thought it was Rey Mysterio the second with body paint. Like what? Roddy Piper used that back. Oh my God, when was that? Roddy Piper used that back in '89 when he was facing Bad News Brown. Bad News Brown, remember that? He would paint his body.
Well, I mean, it was just that I thought in ring and body language wise, he did a better Sin Cara than Sin Cara. And it's a shame. He, I mean, obviously, he was the one who got unmasked. He lost in that mask versus mask, you know, match that he and Sin Cara Blue had. And I thought that once he did get unmasked, it wasn't the same. You know, I think the WWE has to look back and say if they knew what was going to happen with Sin Cara Blue, him getting injured, they would have kept that mask on him. And he could have possibly been your next decent masked Lucha Libre style superstar.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Absolutely. Before I forget, let's go into this. PW Insider reporting Justin Credible removed from the Extreme Reunion event in Philadelphia. Saturday night, a concern about his condition backstage. Credible was forced earlier in the evening, or was found earlier in the evening, excuse me, slumped over, passed out asleep in a chair. Credible was removed from the show and asked to leave the building. He returned later to beg the promoters to put him back on the show, but they turned him down. You actually had some more information on this.
Well, apparently, Sabu, another guy who was supposed to show up, and this was reported by TMZ, Sabu, a hardcore wrestling icon, was rushed to the hospital before a scheduled event tonight. Well, not tonight, but tonight in Pennsylvania. Cops in Traverse, Pennsylvania, tell TMZ they were dispatched to a hotel for a medical emergency but wouldn't elaborate. The manager at the hotel where Sabu was staying tells TMZ the staff there felt the wrestler was intoxicated and paramedics were called. A source close to Sabu tells TMZ he had been missing in action all day, and promoters for an ECW reunion event where he was scheduled to appear at could not get in touch with him. According to our source, this is great, Sabu had an allergic reaction to a medication he had been taking. Yeah, like the allergic reaction he had to the 25 pounds of pot that him and RVD were caught with, right?
Stop using the goddamn beaver tranquilizers. Bloody hell. When are these wrestlers going to learn? When, you can't mix the pot with the beaver tranquilizer. Okay? It doesn't work.
Now, here's something I found interesting. It's worth noting, this is in another article, that Credible and Sabu, who remains hospitalized as of this writing, were hanging out last night, which I'm assuming is the night before that show, as Credible tweeted, Justin Credible tweeted the following photo of an unconscious Sabu. Now, here's what's cool. When I went to that link, the photo has been taken down. Now, that's like one of those things where, you know, when your friend passes out drunk, you paint him up like a girl and take a picture of him, put it up on the net.
Yeah.
So that's an allergic reaction. And, you know, we had Shane Douglas. We had talked about this a few months back, Power, on when Shane Douglas, you know, raided a taping in WWE. And this was the event that he had put together. If you want to get to this right now, I have a short, about 3-minute audio clip of Shane's reaction to how this went down.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and hit it.
Here we go.
I'd like to just start by saying thank you to the fans for this past Saturday night's event and the support they gave us by their outpouring. Without the fans, no wrestling company can succeed or survive. And it's obvious from the turnout this past Saturday night that there's an obvious market for our product. And that was evident in the fact that building was sold out. Several hundred fans were turned away. And in fact, it was the largest crowd to ever witness an event at the Armory. At the bright spots and dark points, fans in the past had supported ECW. We hope that a new generation of fans, our new generation of fans, will give us that same support and second chance that was afforded the original ECW in the past. Some mistakes will be made as we grow, just like in the original ECW, and we're willing to take full responsibility for those. Now, we acknowledge and accept full responsibility for any mistakes that happened surrounding the events this past Saturday night. And we apologize to any fan that left inconvenienced or felt disappointed after the event Saturday night. So effective immediately, we're taking the following steps. The first step is a personal one. I recognize that to lead a company, I have to lead by example. I've had a history of shooting on those people that have far overstayed their welcome in the business. Through my career, I've been called a lot of things, and I've been accused of even more things. But one thing I've never been called is a hypocrite. I say what I believe, and I believe what I say. I'm very passionate about our business. And so effective immediately, in reference to this past Saturday night, I'm taking myself off the active roster and will not step into the ring and wrestle for or perform again for this company as we progress forward. Secondly, we, just like you, were disappointed by some of the behaviors and performances of those in our family. Although we cannot control the actions of somebody once they walk through the curtain, we can and will control how we respond to their behaviors and actions once they return from the ring. Therefore, very soon, we will be announcing a major overhaul of the talent roster for all future events. We will no longer tolerate the toxic environment that forms when some of these guys congregate. It cheats the company. It cheats their opponent. But most importantly, it cheats the fans that paid their hard-earned money by coming to that building. It will not be tolerated at any future event.
Right on.
Thirdly, the overall production value of the event, from the lights to the sound to the videos, failed to meet our desired standards and expectations. And you can rest assured that those problems have been identified and will be corrected at all future events. To close, like I said earlier, there were several bright spots on Saturday's show.
Oh, yes.
But far too many dark spots, as far as we're concerned.
Hear, hear.
It is our commitment as a company to focus our energies on those bright spots and ensure that those dark spots never occur again. We will work diligently to ensure that our product is one our fans can enjoy and be proud to support. Thank you again. Hang with us. We'll make this thing right as we move forward and continue to provide an extreme product. We apologize for the problems this past Saturday show and promise that all future events will be one you can be proud to support. Thank you.
And God bless America. That was all that was missing. Oh, my God. Did he not sound presidential? Seriously.
Well, did you hear the papers shuffling? I mean, I didn't pay much attention to the video. I just have the audio. But, I mean, he was reading. You know what? Here's the deal. You want to ensure that this doesn't happen again. You might have to spend some money to have every guy that you bring in bring a drug testing certificate with them. I mean, in a way. And you know what? I may catch heat over this. I know Shane Douglas has burned a lot of bridges. I know he's caused a lot of trouble. But I do have a little piece of my black heart that kind of feels sorry for him a little bit. But another thing that's interesting is, and you know, TNA needed to learn this too a few years ago. ECW is a WWE trademarked brand. You have to stop saying it.
There's nothing stopping him from calling it Eastern Championship Wrestling. There's nothing. Nothing stopping him from using any other acronym, using the letters ECW. The WWE can't stop him from doing that. You don't see the WWE going after Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. You're right. I get what you're saying. But here's the other thing. Look, ECW, they've tried to resurrect that beast more than Godzilla, okay? No one was a bigger ECW fan than me. For a time, their pay-per-views were a must-order for me. I was a huge ECW mark, the original ECW. But you know what? It's over. It's sad. It's over. They've tried to revitalize it so many times now that I think it's time to just say, you know what? It's not coming back. Unfortunately, it's sad. It's dead. The original guys, other than Tommy Dreamer, who's a guy I have a lot of respect for, because out of all these ECW originals, he's the cleanest cut guy, I think, of the bunch and really the most dedicated. The same could be said for Paul Heyman, who, by the way, wants nothing to do with this.
Well, he doesn't want to burn his bridge with the WWE if he ever gets a job back there again.
Well, he doesn't want to burn his bridge at all. I mean, I think it's got to be embarrassing to him, too. But here's the thing. I mean, look, everyone likes to get drunk. Everyone, look, I have nothing. I've said this before. I have nothing against people who want to party. But damn it, you know you've got a match tomorrow night. Can you turn it off for 24 hours till your match is done and you get your payday? Really?
Then go, you know, then go out and, you know, go down to Columbia and party with the Secret Service.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you do, man. You go, you get your money, then you hop on a plane and you go down and you go and stop off in California, go grab Anthony, go down to Columbia and and hang out with the hotties in the Secret Service. What is so difficult about this?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and again, I'm not dogging on Jeff Hardy because, quite frankly, at this point in my life, I'm proud of the guy. He's really cleaned himself up.
Yeah, he has.
But it was like that night when he showed up for the main event at the pay-per-view against Sting, tore up out of his mind. Dude, you couldn't wait 15 minutes till your match was over to then go party? I mean, I don't know. This promotion isn't going to go anywhere. If I'm a fan, I'm not going to take a chance buying a ticket for this again after this, you know, this debauchery. I mean, one main eventer not showing up, cool. Two, for the same reason, man, nah.
See, I disagree with you here. I think that, you know, Shane, I'm willing to give Shane Douglas the benefit of the doubt for a couple of reasons. Number one, he that speech was very well coordinated, sounded very presidential, and I really think he could be a strong leader of any promotion that chose to take him on or any promotion he started himself. I think he gets it. Besides, he's one half of the greatest tag team on the planet, the Dynamic Dudes. So, that being said, I you know, I'm standing by my dudes, man. I don't know what happened to Johnny Ace. I don't know what clocked him over the head and turned him into an ass. But I got to support my boy. I got to support Shane Douglas, one half of the greatest tag team of all time. I'm sorry. I've got to do it. I'm hoping that this really, it may not be ECW. It may turn into something else. But at least if it has some of the original members of ECW, the spirit of ECW, then it's not going to matter what they call it.
Well, I mean, John Laurinaitis earned some points with me Monday night. I kind of like the way he's there. I think they're trying to push him, and I don't want to get off on a different topic, but I think they're trying to kind of push him as a new age Vince McMahon. Now, he'll never be Vince McMahon. I said this before, but
no,
just the way he screwed over John Cena, I kind of like that at least, you know, I kind of like when Johnny Ace loses it. I think it's funny and I think it's cool. I like when he goes from that corporate, well-spoken shill to like the wrestler just occasionally shows itself. It was like the night when he busted Mick Foley over the head with the microphone. You know, I think that's coming out. And I think, man, he's got some type of vendetta against John Cena, and they totally switched directions on us Monday night. So we'll have to see where it goes.
I'd challenge anybody to go back and try to find a wrestling promo with Johnny Ace. Go out and try to find one. Seriously, you're going to be awful hard pressed to find. Go back when he was managing the Sheep Herders, okay, back in the NWA. All right, go back when he was one half the Dynamic Dudes. Seriously, go and try to find a promo with Johnny Ace. You're just not going to find one, and there's a reason why. You know, but didn't it sound good? Didn't it sound good when Triple H told him to shut up? Come on, come on, you were marking out like a 5-year-old. You knew you were when Triple H came down. And I don't think you're
not being appropriate right now. I think I'm gonna go. I'm gonna take this up with the board of directors.
Shut up, dude. I love that. I can't do a Triple H to save my life.
It was
come
like,
on.
It was like, Brock, you think you can come here and just take over? Triple H, I don't think you're being very professional. Shut up.
Oh, that was good. That was really damn good.
That's the best I can do. I mean, you know, I'm no JJ Sexay, but I have my moments.
Jeez, I'm not even going to go there. New champions this past week in the WWE. We have three new champions. Of course, we have Layla. I never liked it when Well, I shouldn't say never. I almost never like it when a wrestler returns and is just thrown a title at them. It was appropriate in Gail Kim's case because, you know, she had been, you know, so screwed over. Her character had been so underutilized. And the fact that she had to, you know, be the whipping girl for Awesome Kong back when she was in TNA. But, you know, for her to have the TNA title come in, take the belt, I can understand that. But having Layla return, if this goes by this is the JJ Sexay definition, the esteemed owner and official program observer of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, this definitely goes to the JJ Sexay school of booking, whereby the title is used to prop up the wrestler. Because by herself, Layla returning would mean nothing. All right? Absolutely jumping jack squat. And Michelle McCool has a baby taker in the oven, so you're not going to see her back anytime soon.
Baby taker.
A baby taker. So now you've got Undertaker and Baby Taker, and then when they're gonna tag, and they'll have they'll go after the tag team titles. And if Undertaker gets in trouble, he can tag in Baby Taker. But I'm not a fan of this title change. I really think that WWE dropped the ball on this, and they could have had Kia Stevens come in. And really, it would have meant a whole lot for her coming back after everything that she's been through with her, the unfortunate situation with her pregnancy to come in and take the title. I think it would have meant a lot. It would have been very inspirational. Cody Rhodes. Now, I did not. This one came out of left field for me. I was so. Yeah, I'll clap too. I was glad I was wrong. This, you know, there were two matches that I was glad I was wrong on. One was the Brock Lesnar-Cena match. And the second was the Intercontinental Championship. I think the WWE did the smart thing, putting the belt back on Cody Rhodes. He is a very credible, a very strong Intercontinental Champion from a heel standpoint. And I thought the way that he won it was cheap, but from a booking standpoint, it was brilliant. How many times have we seen guys fall through the table inadvertently? And that's the risk with a table match. And, putting your foot through a table is the same as having your opponent, put you through the table. So, referee had to make the call. So, Cody Rhodes, congratulations to him. Brand new Winter Continental Champion. I think he's going to do well. And of course, we now also have, we've got new tag team champions. Kofi Kingston and Ron the Truth Killings.
Air Jimmy,
defeating Epico and Primo. Of course, Kofi Kingston, just coming off a tag team title run, gets the titles back, defeated Epico and Primo to become the new tag team champions. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm really beginning I'm not one for completely round belts, completely round front plates or side plates, but I really do. I am enjoying seeing those championship trophies because they've got that copper, that brass. It's like, okay, we're the champions. You know, we're like the third rate champions. We're not the WWE champion. We're not the world champion. We're the world tag team champions. So we get the bronze.
Am I the only one alive who likes those? I actually kind of like those belts.
That's what I'm saying. I like them. I think they're cool. I'm a purist though. I don't see having two gladiator heads side by side. But what do I know? I'm an old school fan. You know, give me something that looks like the Intercontinental. Honestly, when I became a wrestling fan and I saw championship belts like the first Hogan World belt at WrestleMania 1, when I saw the Intercontinental title belt held by Randy Savage, when I saw the U.S. title belt held by Nikita Koloff, you know, I thought that every title belt, and this is the autism in me, that every title belt should have that style lettering. I know that sounds really stupid, but to me, official championship belts had that particular font. I, to this day, don't know what that font is, but if it was a real title belt, would have that type of lettering. I know it sounds stupid, but.
And, you know, I'm weird. I always liked the huge over-the-top belts, like kind of the belt that they're using in on SmackDown right now, which is basically the WCW. I love the WCW title. I like those larger-than-life, gigantic belts that runs like from the top of the guy's chest down to his waist.
Absolutely. You know what they need to do? There was talk about removing the WWE Championship. Do you remember the Andre the Giant belt? from back in 87?
Yeah, we talked on this for a while.
That's
yeah.
what they need to do. They need to bring that. If they're going to have a WWE Championship belt, that's the belt they need to bring back. They never will. It was designed for Andre the Giant. I'm sure it was given to Andre the Giant. You know, never used. It was used on television once, never used again. But, you know, they need to bring something big like that to the table.
Well, there was talk of a new WWE. This has been a talk for over a year.
Yeah.
They supposedly designed a new one, but I mean, I personally think that WWE title is hideous. It's the most hideous world title belt they've ever had. Spinner belt that doesn't spin. It's disgusting.
Made sense when John Cena had it. Doesn't make sense for other wrestlers now. I honestly thought when John Cena lost the title, they were going to go back to the Undisputed belt held at one time by Brock Lesnar. I thought that was a pretty sharp championship. But, you know, what the hell do I know? Three new champions. Who do you think out of the three, you take a look at the champions, the new champions that were crowned, and, oh, by the way, Santino is for real. Santino is for real.
Yeah.
The Miz got his ass kicked by Santino Marella in a match that The Miz should have never, ever lost. And he has nobody to blame but himself. Now, people are going to say, well, yeah, but look what happened in the Beat the Clock. He beats it. Doesn't matter. Santino beat him at the pay-per-view clean. Clean he beat him. I loved every minute of it, even though I picked The Miz. That's a third one I got wrong on the pay-per-view that I was glad I did.
Yeah, I picked The Miz, too. But, I mean, I don't understand. You know, the thing that's confusing to me is if this guy's going to be in a movie, I would think maybe this doesn't make sense. You would want it. You don't want to elevate him because he's probably going to be away for a bit doing this, but you do want to elevate him to get maybe people interested in this movie. But here's the deal with Santino.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the fans put him over. It's almost like WWE Creative was like, really? The fans love this guy? They do. They pop like mad when Santino comes out. When he does that, I love the Cobra thing is so stupid. It's great.
I keep telling my kids, I said, he does the Cobra. He takes way too much time and he's going to get caught. And he got caught this Monday. He got caught again during the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. He takes too damn long. It gives his opponents too much time to recuperate. And if you've got somebody down, go for the pin. Don't be stupid. Cena does it. All these guys, these grandstanders want to do it. And they wonder why they get caught. Mike, I'm trying to teach my kids. Look, if you got your guy down, you go for the pin. You get your three count. All right? You get your three count, you win, you go home, and you party. All right? You don't go with your little arm out and then your hand bends and then your arm bends and then you have to twist your hand because apparently you can't physically make that motion on your own. And then you yell out like you're in a G.I. Joe cartoon and hope that the guy is dazed enough so that you can hit what really is nothing more than a jab to the throat, which is illegal, which the referee shouldn't even be counting the pin, but the referee counts the pin, you get three, and Santino's the champion. Don't get me wrong. I like the fact that Santino's the champion. However, I could spend a whole hour on useless finishing maneuvers. The absolute worst finishing maneuvers of all time. All right? People's elbow was one.
Oh, yeah.
People's elbow is one. He takes 20 minutes. It takes him 20 minutes to get the elbow in. John Cena, you can't see me. Five knuckle shuffle. There's another one. Santino. Definitely Santino will be in the top five. Give me another one.
Oh, I'll give you one. I mean, let's talk about a wrestler pulling a limp white object out of his tights. Mick Foley, Mr. Socko.
Yeah, that's similar. Once again, he's got to go digging in his pants to find his sock. I mean, give me another one. I need something that, you know what? You know what the best finishing move on the planet is? And I was never able to find the name of it. And I'm going to try to find a clip. Do you remember a guy, and I know I'm over on this segment too. I'm over all over the place. Do you remember the guy, a guy who wrestled in the NWA by the name of Ricky Lee Jones?
No.
Okay. There was a guy by the name of Ricky Lee Jones who didn't really do much in the NWA. He came into the NWA, was on Worldwide Wrestling, JCP, 86, basically mostly late 86, I think early 87. And I remember he wrestled George South on television one time. One of the most famous jobbers on the planet. And the match went on quite a while. The match went on a good 10 minutes. And George, I'll never forget this. Ricky Lee Jones went for this step over toe hold. He got it twice, just a traditional step over toe hold. And then I can't remember what he did with his leg, but he was able to twist himself around. He grabbed his opponent's leg straight up in the air, and he bridged back. He bridged back. He had the leg, and he bridged back in a small package type maneuver. And I thought to myself, damn, that is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the coolest finisher I've ever seen. And you can't break out of it, because your opponent, he's got the leg. You can't break out of it. And to this day, I have never seen anybody duplicate it.
Well, I mean, you know, Mick Foley mentioned this in his book, that the greatest finishers, and that's how he came up with the mandible claw.
Yeah.
The greatest finishers should be able to be performed on any wrestler of any size, regardless of how, you know, okay, the Taker has a tombstone, but can he do that to the Big Show? No. But three of my favorites have to be, and they're all very similar, the Stone Cold Stunner, the RKO, and Jake Roberts' DDT.
Oh, DDT, I think, surpasses. Because that move came. You got the short clothesline. Out of nowhere, that move came, and the match was over. It didn't matter. Yeah. I remember him skating it on King Kong Bundy once. And I'm just like, damn. And at the same point, I didn't realize how tall Jake the Snake was, because Bundy was about 6'5". And Jake the Snake, I didn't realize how tall he was. But yeah, definitely. Let me see. What we got here on the chat? Was anybody got anybody on the chat? Oh, the Worm. Oh, God, yeah. Rockport, Scotty Too Hardy, the Worm. That was another move that took 20 minutes.
Yeah, but, you know, those types of finishers are to make the crowd pop. They're really not finishers. They're to give, you know, the Worm, the Cobra, the five-knuckle shuffle, which I never understood how in a PG era, if you don't know what a five-knuckle shuffle is, look it up. But how they get away with doing that, I mean, they turned the FU, which we all know what that stands for, into the attitude adjustment, because it was too risque for PG. Mm-hmm. But yet the five-knuckle shuffle, I guess, you know, when a kid asks mommy, what does that mean? They just dance around it. But I digress.
Ace Attitude has sent me a clip here of Ricky Lee Jones, and I'll go ahead. I'll continue talking while I'm seeing this. But how do you find this stuff so fast? Got to be on YouTube. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm gonna see if he's gonna pull that maneuver. They never did name it, whatever it was. But I wonder whatever happened to Ricky Lee Jones. I wonder if he's still alive. You never heard anything after he was done in this. This is old wrestling talk now when I'm talking Ricky Lee Jones. I realize how old I am when I'm asking, whatever happened to Ricky Lee Jones? You know, whatever happened to the Mulkeys? You remember the Mulkeys? They were the absolute worst jobbers on the planet. They lost, I think they only won like one match in their entire career, and I think they won it on Superstation one time. I think it was like one of the last matches they ever had for Superstation in that little 100 or 200 seat arena. Here's the big bad National Wrestling Alliance, and they did the Super Show or whatever it was in a packed audience, and 100 people. It was just unbelievable. But yeah, you had the Mulkeys, and they were just rag dolls. Who else? Let me think. Who are some other good? You know what? We're going to go off on a little bit on a tangent here. Who are some other good?
The Brooklyn Brawler should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I agree.
For being, you know what? Just because you're a jobber doesn't mean you can't be the greatest. He was the greatest jobber ever. He put everyone over, man.
Here's the move. What is it? What are we calling it? A spinning heel hold inverted bridge pin. Is that what it's called? Now, I would love to know why somebody does not use this. He gets it, he inverts it, and then he gets... Well, you know what? That leg, though, the leg isn't completely locked in the step-over toe hold. Now that I'm looking at it, it's bent, but you got to get the leg. You got to get the other leg on the leg, and you got to bridge back. I don't know. Well, I look at it. It's, you know, here I am looking at it 20 years later. But
another finisher that I used to love was no one, in my opinion, at least no one from my era. You know, you can probably go further back, but
yep.
No one from my era did a Boston crab like Rick Martel.
When he
locked that in, and his eyes just popped out of his head, and he torqued it and torqued it. You knew that match was over, man. You weren't getting out.
You know, apparently here, according to Ashley is my name, Ricky Lee Jones passed away at the age of 53, September 2006. I was not aware of that.
Man, another young wrestling death. Wow, 53.
Well, 53 wasn't... Oh, man. I would love to see... You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn that move. I'm going to learn that move. Simply because if I am ever called... into action, if I am ever called to back up what I say in a ring, all right, like I had to do at World War Wrestling, if I'm ever called to do it again and I get in the match, I'm going to use that hold. And I guarantee, I will call it the power lock, and I guarantee you nobody will get out of it. Too bad you can't make that move on WWE 12. That would be cool. All right, we've digressed for far, far too long on completely useless information.
It's old school wrestling, man. I think at the end of the day, people enjoy hearing about it because it's back when stuff was good.
Let me think. Excuse me. Oh my goodness!
I've got a story I wanted to get to, if I may, real quick.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a break. Let's do this. Let's take the break, and then when we come back, I'll let you go ahead. I'll give you your story. I'll give you your time, and then we'll go ahead and take calls.
Cool.
All right. It's the pro wrestling. He's the brother of Robert Gibson. That would make so much sense because they tagged. It's a Pro Wrestling Rewind right here. We're taking a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network.
It's time to stop the name calling,
the hurt,
the bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation.
It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com, the place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey guys, this is Lori, the WrestleWitch champion, and you're listening to The Power, Andy Knowles, on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
You know, that makes so much sense. Because they used to do, Ricky Morton was out injured after losing the tag team championship to the Blanchards. And Robert Gibson teamed with Ricky Lee Jones. I didn't get the connection until now. Thank you to the great folks in the chat room here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind who help improve the edge. This is what this is, the Power Institute for Advanced Creative Theorism, and even I get educated from time to time. Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network. The Power, Andy Knowles, the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella back with you. Man, we are running out of time rapidly. So go ahead. Give me what else did you have here? And we'll probably only have enough time to take one or two phone calls. But go ahead and give us what you needed. Go ahead.
Well, I'll read this story very quickly. It's going all over the IWC, brother. And by the way,
spoiler alert,
if you haven't read the Impact Wrestling spoilers for this Thursday, you may want to mute your players now. ProWrestling.net.
Okay, hold on. Real quick, if you happen to be watching TNA this week, the guy that looks like the orange sun from the Jimmy Dean commercial, that's Hogan. Go ahead.
ProWrestling.net is reporting that Hulk Hogan's monster idea, brother, for TNA Wrestling is for fans to film TNA wrestlers anytime they are seen in public. Excuse me. TNA would encourage the filming of superstars in public and ask fans to send the footage in to TNA to possibly be used on television. According to reports, much of the locker room isn't in favor of the idea of being in character 24/7 and fans having incentive to film them outside the arena. Many in the locker room also feel Hogan is the last person who should be suggesting this idea, given his recent news and past with videos surfacing online. Reportedly, the announcement was going to be done via a promo, but it didn't happen yet. No word on if the idea is being held off to a later time, if the details of the idea are being perfected, or if it is being canceled altogether. ProWrestling.net's Jason Powell reports that most wrestlers in TNA are hoping for the idea to be scratched. Now, see, I thought it was going to happen this Thursday. Apparently, they're not sure yet. I mean, yeah, TNA wrestlers aren't nearly as well known as WWE wrestlers, but really, it would be like us putting our phone numbers on Facebook and saying, hey, call us anytime, 24 hours a day, and let us know what you think of the show. I mean, that's just, look, I'm a TNA guy. I've defended TNA, but that is a stupid idea.
That's like trying to call up Walmart's, you know, district office and complain to Walmart because the service you got stunk. They don't care.
Well, I mean, it's not so much caring. It's look, other than in Florida, and this is one of the big problems with TNA, is that they're not that well known outside of Orlando. But still, you know, all of these guys, whether it's WWE, TNA, whether it's any former wrestling, these guys deserve the little bit of privacy they get. I mean, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe this is all a work and they'll have fake footage of supposed fans filming these guys. And maybe you could have some funny moments. But if you go on TV and you say, anytime you see a TNA guy, feel free to whip out your cell phone and record them, you know, eating dinner or
whip out your cell phone. Don't whip out anything else. Just whip out your cell phone.
Right, right. Don't be Mick Foley and whip out a limp white object. But I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, I hate when TNA will tell you one week that they've got this groundbreaking idea. And then when they finally reveal it, it's like, wah, wah, wah.
You need that soundbite.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and again.
Hey, Brass Eye, can you get us that soundbite?
I mean, I'm a TNA guy, but I'm the first person. When they do something I don't agree with, I'm going to tell you. You know, I'll defend them till I'm blue in the
face. Hold on a second. We want the wah, wah, wah. Can you get that? Don't tell me you can't get it, because I bloody well heard over on WNL you got the Family Feud buzzer going on.
The best thing he could get for an idea like that, even better, is the Price is Right losing sound. Burr, burr, burr,
boom. That's a good one. Yeah, Brass, can you get me that one? He's not answering. Okay, anyway, let's do this. Do you have anything else here? We'll open up the phone lines real quick.
Let's open up the phone lines.
All right. To be on the program, Bronx, what do you do?
501-588-7957. That is, once again, 501-588-7957. Or add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype.
Did you get that? There'll be a quiz on it later. We'll open up the phone lines here real quick. Probably only have enough time to take one or two calls. You can, of course, go on Skype, SNS Radio Network. Did we get, you know what? Speaking of that, did you hear or did you see the Facebook posting regarding the 1-800 number?
Yeah.
That was, oh my God, that was messed up. We'll go to the phone lines. Line one, Pro Wrestling Rewind, go ahead.
Hey, yo, guys, it's L Train.
L Train, what's going on tonight, brother?
Hey, not much. I'm about to do a little meet and greet here in a second, but I got to say, Bronx, pulling out a limp white object. Thank you for putting that sentence out there for everybody to hear, man.
You're welcome.
God. Oh, man. I got a little bone to pick with the two of you right now. Did I hear correctly that you two are fans of those copper tag team title belts?
I don't think they look that bad. I really don't. I miss, you know what the best, I honestly, I miss, and once I've got to be very brief here because I've got a whole lot in the queue here, but I really liked the world tag team title belts, the black and red ones they used on Raw. I thought those were nice.
Well, I can see how those ones are nice, but the ones that they have now, they look like they lift them right out of Big Show's penny loafers. I mean, you look at those things, they don't look anything like tough. They look like secondhand stuff you'd get at the merchandise stand.
You got a point. I'm not going to argue with you.
So wait a minute, L-Train, what you're saying is, as far as you're concerned, this is the WWE tag team titles.
Exactly. Oh, all perfect.
Right, anything else, L-Train, then we got to let you go.
I do have something, but I'll save it for next week because I'm going to wait and see how it goes out depending on what WWE does. But in lieu of your comments about what the best and worst finishers are,
yeah.
I got one for each. With all due respect to the late great Umaga, I was not really that big a fan of that Samoan Spike. That one it didn't really do it all that much for me.
Yeah.
But for best, for me, two come to mind, one out of fear, one just out of respect. I always love Diamond Dallas Page's Diamond Cutter. I always love seeing that thing get hit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just out of fear, as a kid, just watching wrestling at 10 years old, there were two guys who scared the living crap out of me. That was Kane when he made his debut in Hell in a Cell, and in WCW, the former Haku Meng. Whenever I would see him go out to the ring, I was legitimately scared because I was afraid I would run into this guy someday. And when he would put on that tongue of death grip, I was literally afraid he was going to rip this dude's jaw off, whoever it was he was fighting. He applied that thing and had the intensity showing in his face that it literally made you fear him.
Oh, no doubt. And once again, no argument for me, L-Train. That's definitely, that's a good one right there. I can't argue with you on that one.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and head out, and you guys have a good rest of the night.
All right, thanks a lot. Let's go out to California here real quick. I think we've got the king, the church porn king, Anthony, online, too. Go ahead.
Aha, very funny, Power.
It's not my – dude, it's not my fault that you live in a church and you like porn. That's okay. What's
you're the one that keeps bringing up the porn.
I can't help it if you live in porn. Why do you constantly – you get into this with me every single week. It's okay, all right? The truth has set you free.
I didn't ask if it was okay.
The truth has set you free.
Right,
it's okay.
It.
I know you're all right with it. I'm just simply agreeing with you. You live in a church and you like porn. God bless you.
And when Anthony starts filming his own porn and he can't get started, they play.
All right, we're having too much fun.
Unlike you, Bronx, at least I could see the women. And I bumped into a wall.
Oh, Anthony from downtown. What's going on, man? What are you up to?
You guys were saying, you were all saying what could have caused Kevin Nash to be upset because he thought that some guy, a friend of his, was released from WWE. I heard that it might be actually Dustin Rhodes.
Really?
I heard that too.
Yeah.
Really?
And you guys didn't mention this because it was recently reported earlier. ROH champion David Richards got in an accident. He actually was stripped of the IWGP belt he had.
Say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up in my headset. Say that again.
The ROH champion David Richards got in a car accident, and because of that, his IWGP belt was stripped of him.
I didn't hear that.
No word yet.
I just remember what
David
the other
Richards.
One was. Yeah, David, and I just remember where the other one was. Buff Bagwell. Buff Bagwell getting in a car accident recently.
Yeah.
Also, Axel Rotten got injured in a car accident, too.
God almighty, I'm telling you, man. These guys have got to
what
stop.
What the hell? Former wrestlers are playing like Donkey Kong, Mario Kart in real life. What the hell?
I know. You can't be watching porn on your iPhone and driving. It doesn't work.
I manage.
Anything else, Anthony? I got to let you go. I'm running out of time.
Nothing much. In Bronx, if you're going to whip out your white thing, do it in private.
Okay. You hear that, Bronx? The white thing. I don't even want to know what that is, but if you're going to whip it out, do it in private. We don't want you doing it here on the program.
I'll tell you what it is after the show.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot, Anthony.
Have a great night. In his vision, you might just get an extension cord.
Yeah. Good night, Anthony. See you later.
Night.
All right. Let's go back. We'll take one more call here before we call tonight. Let us go. Oh, the Pope. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of church and porn, yeah. The Pope has joined us here on the Pro Wrestling Evening Rewind. Good evening, Pope.
What up, Andy? What up, Bronx?
Where have you been, man? What's been going on?
Man, working, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you listening to the program, even though you're working.
I'm not working tonight, but they finally made the Pope get a 9-to-5. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. What precipitated that?
You know, my mom lost her job, so it's kind of been a little bit, you know, difficult for the family lately, so.
See, and this is great. You know, you went out and you got a job and you're supporting your family. I think that's tremendous. I wish more people, you know, in similar situations would do that.
Yeah, stepping up. I agree.
Manning up, man. Good for you. I mean, I'm not joking or nothing. I think what you're doing is fabulous. Good for you. I think it's great.
Yeah, but I wanted to comment on, you know, y'all are talking about the worst finishers and the best finishers in history, and I noticed that y'all forgot to mention. How could you forget the Team Canada captain, Petey Williams, and his Canadian Destroyer?
The worst? Really? The Destroyer?
No, I mean, that's one of my favorites. I mean, that's like the best category.
Oh, the best. Okay, I thought you'd say that's the worst one you've ever seen. I'm like, oh, wait a minute now. We're going to have a conversation with that. But, well, what's the worst one you've ever seen? What's the one that is just so unbelievably bad that you can't believe somebody's expected to go over after getting hit by it?
The Cobra.
Yeah. I got to agree. I mean, God bless Santino, but, you know, what was he using as a finish? Does anybody remember what he won the Intercontinental Championship with over Umaga, what he won with?
Bobby Lashley came in and kicked Umaga's ass.
Oh, thank you. Yes, he used a foreign object.
He used a big black man.
He used a big black foreign object.
You know what was another one where when I saw it executed, I said, that's it. Tomorrow in the papers, I'm going to read Wrestler Killed in the Ring. The Doomsday Device by the Road Warriors. That was sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it was.
After Extreme Rules, I want to think The Miz is done. I don't think The Miz. Well, they're playing The Miz right now. Him losing to Santino, of all people. I don't want to say it, but I'm starting to think The Miz is never going to be WWE champion again.
I believe. You know what? I'm getting on that train, too. And, you know, I was on this train back when it wasn't cool to criticize The Miz. I've been saying it all along how overrated this talent is. And he's, once again, the power is proven right. Go ahead.
I don't know what Miz did backstage. If he's in the doghouse, or if the creative just doesn't have anything for him right now. But he needs to pull a Hulk Hogan and, you know, get a little bit of creative control over his own storyline, because the Miz is fading fast.
He needs to lose that French girlfriend of his is what he needs to do.
Oh, here we go.
He needs to lose. I'm telling you, hanging out with a French girl will be the demise of you. Take it from somebody who knows.
Man, are you ever going to get over that broken heart? Come on, man.
I'm married with 5 kids. What's your problem? I know exactly where the parts are, okay? I'm married with 5 kids. The Miz doesn't know squat. How come I got 5 kids, he's got none?
I'm not talking about the parts. You had your heart broken by a French chick, ooh la la, va fachle, avesois, however that
Jesus.
Song went.
Ferme ta gueule.
He's forever damaged against French women.
I'm telling you, because every French woman will cheat on you. It is genetically encoded into their DNA.
Ouch.
People in the chat are saying that The Miz was putting Santino over. I'll tell you exactly what's going on with Santino.
Go ahead. I'm gonna give you the last word, Miz. Pope, I'm going to give Miz. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you that way. Pope, I'm going to give you the last word on this. Go ahead.
See, Santino right now is pretty much Jeremy Lin. I mean, now, I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but think about it.
Yep.
Santino's major push like this did not get going until this Lin Sanity bullshit got going, and the WWE is trying to make their own version of Lin Sanity, Santino Insanity. And that's why Santino's gotten this big push, because he's the underdog, and that's why he's the United States champion, because he's the underdog. He's trying to be free. They're making him Jeremy Lin. I mean, Honestly, that's what it is.
You know, here's a man who beat John Cena at WrestleMania, went over John Cena for the WWE Championship to retain at WrestleMania, losing to Santino Marella in a U.S. title match in a dark match on the internet. How the mighty have fallen. Anyway, Pope, you got a quick prayer for us before we let you go, sir?
Let me see. Pretty much, God, please help the Miz get out of this slump he's in. Please help the WWE see the potential in David Otunga and give him the United States Championship so we can get it off Santino. Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. I thought I'd add that in. Thanks a lot, Pope. Good to hear from you again. Thanks for listening.
All right, man.
You have a good night. You know what? David Otunga U.S. title run, I could see it. It wouldn't surprise me. Santino's on borrowed time right now on that U.S. title, in my opinion. Anything else here before we close up shop tonight?
No. I got to say, I had a lot of fun tonight. It's always good when we can fool around and yet be serious and talk about some old school, you know, wrestling that, unfortunately, my co-host is much more knowledgeable than myself. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I have no problem with Otunga winning a title. I mean, I like Otunga. He's got the look. He's got the attitude.
Yeah.
And he's not too bad in the ring. He's improved. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. But right now, Santino has been made face, has been made a star by the fans. They like underdogs. So I don't have that much of a problem with Santino. I think he's a lot more skilled than his character would suggest. And that U.S. belt is, at least it's being defended. So, you know, I don't have too much of a problem with that. But
Anthony,
I'm about done.
Anthony on the in the chat says the rewind and the chatter are not in any way discriminating against the French. I am. I'll discriminate against French Canadians all day. I have no problem with French Canadian women specifically. I'll discriminate against them all day long. Okay? And here's a word. You know what? Why is it when I go to Headlocks to Headlines, I still see that damn interview posted? How long's it been now? How long's it been since Crowley had that interview? You can take the damn thing down. I think everybody in the known universe has seen it. And honestly, at this stage, you know what? Somebody needs to get word to Maurice that... And only somebody who has lived in Quebec would know exactly what I'm talking about. But somebody needs to tell her that Mitsu, she ain't. All right? She ain't the second coming of Mitsu. Once again, only somebody who is Canadian or having lived in Quebec would understand what that is.
I got one more sound effect for you. That was that going right over my head.
That's perfectly fine. There was this... There was this pop diva icon in the 80s, late 80s, named Mitsu. And if you Google her, she's a radio personality now for Radio Canada out of Montreal. And was it Radio Canada? I can't. Anyway, I don't know which French station she works at, but she was a pop diva icon in the late 80s. She actually was an actress, and she was a good looking girl. She was a great-looking French girl. Like, when you think of French girls, you would think of this girl. And Maurice is trying to be Mitsu. And it just, it ain't working for her. And she's going to cheat on The Miz. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, she's going to cheat on The Miz. And when she does, I will be right here to tell you so. Right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, wherever you are joining us from. We appreciate it. You can always get a hold of us, ProWrestlingRewind@yahoo.com. And, of course, on the Facebook page, you can catch us on the Pro Wrestling Rewind version 2.0 page and on the SNS Radio Network page. Don't forget to catch all the great shows this week, Unplugged this Friday. I don't think we have a pay-per-view this week. I think we're done for a while, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, don't forget to catch Why Beyond the Bell. I'm going to miss one, I know. Hey, I didn't catch all of oh God help me. Now I've just totally forgotten the show that I was just talking about. The third anniversary show.
Elite Force Podcast.
Thank you. I don't even think they use my liner. Did they even use my liner?
They use mine. I believe they used yours. I have to go back and re-listen to that. Basically, they
those rat bastards.
they celebrated sci-fi music composers and the music that goes along with
Brass said they did. Brass said they used it.
Yes,
I listened to the majority of the show. Was it in the second part of it? I gave him a damn good liner. I thought long and hard about what to do. Because those guys really do a great job over there at Elite Force.
Oh yeah.
I like their show.
I like those guys. Yeah
absolutely. They do a great, I love the sci-fi connection on that show. When it's something different on the network. Also, don't forget to catch Wrestling News Live and Unplugged. I already said Unplugged, didn't I? All the great shows here on the SNS Radio Network. So until then, until next time, boys and girls, that is it. Why did I call Mind Wipe Mike? I don't know. Why did I?
You better be careful, because I know for a
did
fact.
Did I call Mind Wipe Mike?
Mind Wipe is severely pissed off right now, and I won't get into why, but if he hears this show.
I apologize. I will publicly apologize right now here on this program if that was the case.
I really zoned out for a second, but I'll tell you right now, Mind Wipe is in a bad mood. And dude, if you're listening to this show, I won't get into it because we don't have time. I feel you, man. And I agree with you 100%.
I've got to go. I apologize if I called him Mike. I don't know where the hell that could have possibly come from. I have no idea. Anyway, I apologize. Anyway, boys and girls, that's it. We're out of here. We're running late. We're way over. Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network. Remember, boys and girls, please, please, please. Oh, you know what? Before I even do that, I forgot to ask you if there's anything else that you wanted to pimp out. Was there anything you wanted to pimp out?
No, other than the shows, the shows you've pimped out. And, of course, Wrestling News Live and the excellent Raw Recap. Well, usually excellent Raw Recap that's given on that show. Of course, JJ Sexay, the Trey Dog, Charles Shane, Philip Mind Wipe Morris, Walkie, Sean Beckerman, all the hosts. Oh, and of course, the open book with the sensational sequel, Sean. Can't forget my boy, Sean. We got a lot of content. We got a lot of entertainment, so stay tuned.
And with that, boys and girls, like I said, we'll call it tonight here, Pro Wrestling Rewind. We appreciate greatly your time with us, whether you're listening to us live or on the archive. Until next time, boys and girls, remember to please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies, and God of radio willing, and if the higher power lets me, Bronx and I will be back to play with y'all again next week. It's Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Just walk this way to the dawn of the light. The wind will blow into your face as the years pass you by. Hear this voice from deep inside. It's the call of your heart. Close your eyes.